Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We bring in our man from VolQuest.com. Always great to visit with Brent Hobbs. Brent, what's going on this morning?
Not much, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing fine. What all is going on VolQuest these days?
Well, we got some stuff from the Big Arch Caravan stop in Memphis last night. Not a whole lot of news. An interesting comment from Jeremy Pruitt, who was very complimentary of the high school football in the city of Memphis, calling it probably the best in the state. We'll see what he has to say about high school football in Nashville when the caravan stop rolls in there later this week. But not a whole lot else new from Coach Pruitt last night. He was asked specifically about Juwan Jennings and said there was no change there. And then Coach Fulmer addressed the media. And a couple quick notes from him made it clear that the baseball facility at Tennessee is a priority in terms of renovations and upgrading that facility. So they're not going to build a new one, obviously, but do some renovations to Lindsey Nelson Stadium to make it more competitive in the Southeastern Conference. And he said he would spend part of his summer this summer traveling to different campuses to look at baseball stadiums and to look at football stadiums, because he is now in charge of the renovations to Neyland Stadium. And I think there's some things in the south end zone that maybe he wants to do differently from what was John Curry's original design. So he's looking into that and looking into the cost of some of that stuff. So those were a couple of notes, I guess, if you will, out of the caravan stop last night. And then later today, we're keeping a close eye on a four-star wide receiver from down in Georgia named Ramel Keaton, who's scheduled to make a commitment late this afternoon somewhere. So we'll see. Tennessee is definitely a finalist for him and has been in pretty good shape within the last few weeks. So we'll see where that one ends up later today.
You know, as far as Philip Fulmer talking about the Neyland Stadium renovations, do you think they can still get the first part of the project done by the 2020 season?
I don't know. That's a great question. You know, there was some the initial plan when John Curry, and this kind of tells you where Tennessee's at. John Curry pitched it to the Board of Trustees and got approval on it in November. And John Curry's the Board of Trustees is on its way out. So everybody who's approved on that thing is not even a factor in it anymore. They're going to do some preliminary stuff this summer, just some kind of underbelly work, some structure work, and all those types of things. And obviously that's been put on hold. So I don't know that they would be able to get everything done by 2020 that Tennessee wanted to get done. I think that would be a stretch to be at that year, given the fact that they're likely not to get anything, you know, done from a infrastructure standpoint this offseason.
You mentioned Jeremy Pruitt and his comments about high school football in Memphis. How much recruiting success do you think he feels like they can have over there?
Well, I think that's an interesting town, and I think it's an interesting town for a couple of reasons. There's a lot of different personality and a lot of different dynamics in that city. It's always been that way. Because it's in the state of Tennessee, a lot of people have always thought, well, Tennessee should do well in Memphis, but it doesn't, you don't have to be a geography major to figure out you can get to half of the Southeastern Conference from the city of Memphis before you get to Tennessee. And so it's a hard area to recruit. So we'll see. I mean, Tennessee got two players out of there from Cordova this past year. There's Maurice Washington's a kid that I think Tennessee likes a great deal. He's committed to LSU and does not plan on coming and seeing Tennessee. So there's some interesting dynamics that make Memphis hard. And I think that, you know, Butch Jones and his staff probably didn't recruit Memphis as hard as they should have. But I think the idea that you're going to go in there and sweep in Memphis is a very unrealistic idea as well. So I think you have to have a balance there, and you got to recruit. You got to recruit to the guys who are really receptive to you, and understand that you know you maybe can't blanket that city, which is unusual for an in-state city. Most cities in state, you kind of blanket recruit, but because of the distance from Knoxville, it's kind of harder to do that, to be honest with you.
Well, with Brent Hobbs of VolQuest.com, and Brent, I guess first and foremost for me is, you know, they're legalized, sports betting. How do you think that's going to impact college sports, if any, here initially, naturally, but down the road? Can you speculate, I guess, maybe some of the things that would impact college sports, you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and what the Southeastern Conference and the ADs talk about in Destin, Florida. That is quickly elevated as a very much a priority topic in Destin in a couple of weeks when they have their spring meetings. You know, I think what's going to be interesting, Blaine, with that is, does that force college football into some of the things that we see in the NFL from the standpoint of mandatory injury reports, you know, a system-wide type deal in terms of access, in terms of, you know, you have to submit an injury the right way. You can't do some of these things that, that college coaches do to try to hide injuries or just to flat-out lie about, you know, that guy's good to go, and then he comes out and they warm him up, and then he comes back out right at kickoff in street clothes, and they're trying to play all these manipulation games. I wonder if some of those things will come into play, if that's the direction, you know, that, that things are going to go. I think it's going to be interesting to see how each individual conference addresses that in their conference meetings. Coach Fulmer was asked about it last night, and he was very honest and said, look, guys, that's early. We haven't had any real discussions. I don't have any real answers for that at this point in time. And I don't think anybody does right now, Blaine.
Well, since they don't have any answers for who they think is going to be the chancellor, I guess, here in the coming years, has the SEC in general ever assisted a university in the SEC in that process of hiring a chancellor or give any recommendations?
No. Okay. That's an academic side of things. That's mm-hmm. the university side, not an athletic side.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think the bigger question, the calls are going to be in an interim chancellor state for a while, and then obviously you're going to be in a situation where a new president is coming, and then a chancellor is going to be hired. The chancellor is going to be the last hire that's made between the president and the chancellor, because they're going to allow whoever the new president is going to be to hire his own chancellor or to be involved in that process. Mm-hmm. So I think the question right now with athletics at Tennessee is simply going to be, who does athletics answer to? Is it going to be the interim chancellor, or are they going to restructure that back to the president? I think that's the biggest question kind of surrounding it's, you know, how it affects athletics, and we'll wait and see what the answer to that is. In the coming months, I mean, that's not an answer we're going to have, you know, in the coming weeks. That's an answer you're probably going to have end of the year, first of next year type deal.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Brent, Nick Saban blocking the transfer of offensive lineman Brandon Kennedy to either Auburn or Tennessee. How do you think this plays out?
I think at the end of the day, it goes back to the SEC, and we'll see what ruling the SEC makes. Nick Saban has done this once before. He did it with a player at Georgia. The conference stepped in and overruled Nick Saban, and that guy ended up at Georgia, and Nick wasn't happy about it. He wasn't happy about Kirby Smart getting him over there. My guess is there's a really good chance that the SEC steps in and says, look, we'll make a ruling on this, and we're going to let Brandon Kennedy transfer, you know, wherever he wants to within the conference. I think it's a really interesting precedent if the conference starts hand-picking. This guy can transfer within the conference. This guy can't transfer within the conference. This coach is allowed to block from this school, but this coach at another school doesn't. We're not going to give him that power to block. So I think it's going to be hard for the SEC to make a ruling that says Brandon Kennedy can't transfer wherever he wants until they come in with a blanket rule that says, you know, you can transfer in the conference and you can't even have the opportunity to block, or you cannot transfer within the conference, period. I don't know that you can be subjective, because I just think you're opening yourself up for a big old mess if you continue at a subjective situation.
Brent, we were talking about Nick Saban blocking the transfer of offensive lineman Brandon Kennedy. You know, all summer we have seen various forms of a new transfer rule. When do you think they get that across the finish line?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, it's you talk to any coach in any sport, and they'll tell you it's an epidemic, and it's a problem that is that concerns coaches greatly. I think the problem from an administrator standpoint in this day and age, there's such a great fear of being sued, being denied an opportunity in some way, and I think that that's part of the reason why you have a hard time when you get a collection of people in a room trying to figure out what's fair and what's not fair, and what's giving somebody an opportunity and what's blocking somebody an opportunity. You know, some of this has been battling for 10 or 15, even 20 years about, you know, you can block them from the conference, and then guys found ways to work around that by going to a JUCO for a year and bouncing back to wherever they want to, such as Alvin Kamara. So, there's ways to get around it. It makes it more challenging. I think the biggest issue that coaches have right now is the grad transfer rule. I think that's the biggest concern, because anymore, a lot of these kids come in with college credit hours, or their majors set up to graduate in 3 years. That was created for guys who were going to go pro. So these schools established these programs that you could graduate in 3 years, and you're selling moms and dads and recruiting homes, hey, your kid can still go pro early, but we've got a program that's going to allow him to be a college graduate. The downside of that right now is those guys can go for 3 years, and then they can transfer and play somewhere immediately against you, and no college coach likes that. So I think the bigger question is, you know, the grad transfer one. I think that's the problem, the thing that coaches see the most, that bothers them the most, because that affects them, because players are eligible immediately.
Brent, you guys on VolQuest, and I recommend it to anybody who goes on the website, the three reasons why the Vols will make a bowl, three reasons why they will not. But the one thing I think fans, and I know me personally, would like to see out of this coaching staff is overachievement. I don't think we saw it enough under Butch Jones. And would you agree that that's got to be high on the list?
Well, no, there's no question. I mean, you know, I think it's, you know, development, you know, improvement, a team that gets better as the year goes on and makes real improvement to offer some hope. Still a game somewhere. I mean, you know, win a game that you weren't supposed to win. I mean, you know, Butch Jones beat South Carolina, you know, which was a ranked opponent. But he had an opportunity to beat Florida early in his tenure, in a game that they, you know, led, and they couldn't finish it. They couldn't win a low scoring affair. And then they had, you know, obviously other opportunities. But yes, to answer your question, you know, obviously they've got to win the games they're supposed to win. But somehow in year one, find a way to beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. You know, Butch Jones nearly did that in year one, but didn't do enough of that the first couple of years. And I think that's a big thing for Jeremy Pruitt, to give the fan base hope that things are going in the right direction. Is be a team that's better than everybody projected them to be at the start of the year. That's one of the joys of Rick Barnes' basketball team this past year, is they overachieved everybody's expectations. The expectations for this team or this football team are not very high. So find a way to win a game you're not supposed to win and exceed everybody's thoughts going in, and that'll get everybody, you know, juiced and going in the right direction.
Biggest UT-related stories coming out of the Rivals three-stripe camp here in Nashville this week?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the in-state players talking about coming back to Tennessee and camping this summer. And I think that's a big deal, because Jeremy Pruitt has made it clear from the signing day celebration in Nashville that he wants prospects on his campus in June at camps, and he doesn't want them in flip-flops and shorts styling and profiling walking around. He expects them to camp, okay? We live in a day and age where kids are getting early offers, and a lot of kids, by the time they're seniors to be in high school, aren't on the camp scene. They don't want to camp. They'll come to a camp day, but it's an unofficial visit where they kind of walk around and tour some stuff and talk to some people. The in-state players here in the state, Jeremy Pruitt's made it clear to them in individual conversations that he's had with them when they've been on Tennessee's campus this spring, they got to come back in June and camp, because he wants to evaluate them that way. How are all those guys going to come back in camp? They seem open to it. They seem like they're going to be back, most of them. That's going to be a storyline to watch in the in-state recruiting in the class of 2019 over the course of the next 6 weeks, is which one of those guys comes back and camps for Jeremy Pruitt, so he can do his own evaluation with them that way. Now, obviously, there's some talent in the state. You look at guys that got invited to the five-star challenge. You look at the notoriety the guys have, the offers guys have around the country. So that those guys want to come and camp for Jeremy Pruitt, I think it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, you don't want guys styling and profiling this time of year, you know?
Well, only Blaine can style and profile,
right.
Fellas. Okay? The rest of us don't have that luxury, okay? I don't have any style, and Lord knows I don't have a profile, so I can't do that kind of thing.
But you are a kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing son of a gun. You're talking about Rick Barnes and the basketball program. Give us a little update on filling those remaining scholarship spots.
All eyes are on DJ Burns right now. Obviously, they've got the transfer from Richmond coming in. They've got one spot left they can fill. DJ Burns from Rock Hill, South Carolina, is a big man who has reclassified from the class of 2019 to the class of 2018, Tennessee, South Carolina. I would expect him to make some type of decision in the next 3 to 4 weeks would be my guess. He is a very low-key individual. He doesn't do interviews. He's not about the recruiting process. Rob Lewis did catch up to him at the tournament in Atlanta this past weekend, and he was very coy with kind of where things are. But that's the one to watch. And then that would take care of 2018. And then in terms of 2019, you're looking at guards. You're looking at a kid out of Florida, last name Mann, who is a guy that Tennessee's got some ties with. Kansas is coming on with him pretty strong. The one thing we're seeing out of Tennessee in 2019 moving forward is we're seeing Tennessee swim in some deeper pools, so to speak, against some, you know, everybody's wondered when's Rick Barnes going to go get a five-star, you know, that type of thing. We're seeing, because of Tennessee's success and stability, we're seeing them mentioned with some more high-profile names, higher-regarded names from a ranking standpoint, and Tennessee's kind of playing in a little deeper level of recruiting pool, if you will, from a ranking standpoint. So that's to watch in 2019. But all eyes right now are on DJ Burns and whether or not he's going to be here and be a part of this team this fall or if he's going to go to South Carolina.
In our final minute here, it sounds like Admiral Schofield's having a really positive experience working out for the NBA. And again, it's been assumed that he'll come back to Tennessee, but what's going on with him?
Well, I think the NBA is liking his game. I mean, I think they like some of the things that he does. I think it's been a good experience for him to show some versatility and to show that he's, you know, he can do a variety of things and he plays really hard. So I think the NBA is going to really like him and put him on their radar screen. I think they're still going to give him, a low enough grade and enough things to work on for him to come back for his senior year and be ready to go. But I think, look, for all my criticisms of different things that's out there, I applaud the way the NBA does this. I really do. I don't think you can do it in football in any way, but I applaud the fact that you don't sign with an agent and you go basically try out for the league. And the league comes back and they tell you, here's where you're projected and this is why. Here's a list of specific things you need to work on. And quite frankly, the list that Admiral Schofield's going to get back is the same list that Rick Barnes is giving him. But it's nice to, as a player, to have that reinforced from the people that you hope to write you a check a year from now. So what a great motivator that it provides for you. I think it's a really good program that the NBA has in place. I hope they don't change it, and I hope kids will continue to use it the way Admiral Schofield and others have used it. And look, some guys go up there without an agent and put themselves in a situation that they're a drafted player. It doesn't happen often, but underclassmen who have NBA ambitions, and those, that's a realistic possibility for them, should use that to their benefit to get on the radar screen and to know what they need to work on to put themselves in a draftable situation a year from now.
You want info on Tennessee? Go to volquest.com. Brent Hubbs, always terrific. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great one.